Easy Like Sunday Morning by James. Summary. Danny has to ride on the back of Chin's motorcycle. Danny didn't look up right away as Steve walked into his office. The paperwork he was fighting with was mostly Steve's fault, and Danny had been thinking of ways to barricade Steve in his own office with the paperwork and not let him out until he'd done it himself. The trouble with that plan was that Steve would probably escape out of a skylight that didn't exist. And anyhow, the few times Danny had let Steve do his own paperwork, everyone from Mavis, the filing clerk, to the governor herself, had sent them back to Danny asking, in varying degrees of politeness, to please fix them. He waited a few minutes, aware of Steve hovering in the doorway. Then his partner took a step inside and hovered just inside the doorway, as if thinking maybe Danny hadn't noticed he was there yet. Danny was about to give in when Steve cleared his throat just a little, and Danny looked up, grinning in triumph. Steve blinked, then frowned, then sighed. Danny just smiled. "What can I do for you, McGarrett?" Now, Steve's pout faded, changing into what Danny privately liked to call the "please, Daddy" face. He saw it often enough on Grace, and he'd freely admit that he gave in exactly half the time she used it. The first time he saw it on Steve, he'd been tempted to ask if Steve had cleaned his room lately. Interestingly, Steve was giving it all he had, which made Danny equal parts suspicious and curious. Steve finally stammered, I know I promised to give you a ride to pick your car up," he began, and Danny slid the pieces together before Steve could finish. He waited patiently anyhow. Steve went on, "But Kat just called and she's cashing in like 5 of the favors I owe her, all at once. Some friend's party she needs a date for, someone who, and this is what she said, not me, who will make her friend's new boyfriend jealous. She actually used the phrase red hot with envy, but that just sounds egotistic," Steve grinned, clearly trying to act bashful and failing. Danny rolled his eyes. "Could your ego get any larger?" Before Steve could respond, Danny waved a hand. "So you're dumping me here because you keep using Navy satellites to track down car thieves?" "Only one of them was a car thief, and he had a trunk full of heroin," Steve protested. "My point being, and you can ask Kono to verify this, I'm sure she still has her class notes, they don't teach stealing Navy equipment as part of police procedure. We do actually have ways of tracking and locating stolen cars and drug dealers. I bet we could get you into a class at the academy." Steve's expression went easily into a pout, one which Danny knew was meant to be a cute, pleading pout, but frankly was mostly lost on him. He had no intention of telling Steve that. Not yet. But it reminded Danny why he might not actually mind being left without a ride to pick up his car from the mechanic. Of course, there was no need to let Steve off the hook easily. Danny glanced down at his desk and all the files he had spread all over it. He said, carefully, casually, "I suppose I can find my own way over there once I finish all this." "Great." Steve just gave him a wide grin and turned to head out. Over his shoulder, he said, "If you catch her before 3, Kono could probably take you. She's a better driver than Chin." He gave Danny a look, as though he were sharing some huge secret. "How can you possibly judge someone's driving?" Danny demanded. "Have you seen yourself drive? Remind me never to get into a car with Kono if you think she's a good driver." Danny shuddered, but let Steve make a quick escape from his office without further abuse. He glanced at the clock, then sat down to focus on his paperwork. At 3:15, he stood up. He hadn't been listening for Konoha to leave, so if she had just left 10 minutes ago, it was purely coincidence. He wandered out of his office, looking around for Chin. When he found the other man in his own office, tapping idly away at his computer, Danny paused for a moment just inside the doorway. He smiled as Chin looked up. "What's up?" Chin asked. "Steve and Kono have taken off," Danny told him. "And Steve, Mr. Reliable, was supposed to give me a ride to pick up my car." Chin nodded. "I can take you," he said. Danny hesitated, then asked in a completely different tone, "You sure about that?" Chin glanced up at him, a small smile on his face, but all he asked was, "When do you need to leave?" Danny shrugged. "The mechanic's place closes early on Friday." "So 4 o'clock?" "They might close at 3 on Fridays," Danny admitted. Chin didn't hesitate a beat. "So I'll have to drop you off tomorrow, is what you're saying." Danny gave him a look of innocence. "Since I was coming over to your place tonight anyway, it isn't like you had plans." Chin finally stood up from his desk and slowly walked over. He stopped just a few inches away from Danny. "Oh, I wouldn't say that." Danny had to swallow once before he said, "So let's get going before someone calls to report a terrorist attack at the Foodland." "Don't jinx it," Chin warned, but he shut down his computer and closed up his office quickly. Danny just followed along, out of the building, and into the parking garage. He let himself smile, just a little smugly, when he saw Chin's bike. "Don't say it," Chin warned. "What would I say?" Chin gave him a look. "I know you," was all he said. Danny watched him get on, shifting forward just a bit to make room. Then Danny climbed on, knees pressed to either side of Chin's legs, and Chin's back pressed up against Danny's front. They sat there for just a second before Chin started the motorcycle's engine. As it rumbled to life, Danny tightened his knees reflexively. Chin turned his head and looked at him. "All you have to do is ask," Chin said, repeating the words Danny had said to him once, whispered in his ear. "I want dinner first," Danny said, thinking of the first time Chin had given him a ride home, and how it had taken about 10 seconds for Danny's erection to make itself very well known to Chin's back. Chin tried to be polite about it, letting Danny know without saying a word that he was willing to pretend he hadn't noticed a thing. Danny had explained how it wasn't so much the bike as the man on the bike, and after that, Chin hadn't needed much persuading at all. They hadn't told Steve. Truth was, Kono hadn't been told either. But 2 weeks after the first time, she'd come up to Danny and given him a hug and then walked off again without a word, but grinning at him happily for days afterwards. Now, Danny was just waiting to see how oblivious Steve could be, or if McGarrett was just playing like he didn't know because he thought he'd get them into trouble. Danny saw no reason to correct him, enjoying instead the apparent obliviousness of his partner's detecting skills. When he did catch on, Danny was looking forward to staying weeks or possibly months and watching Steve try to act like he'd known all along. And if he did know and just wasn't saying anything because he didn't care, well then, Danny really didn't care either. What he did care about was the fact that he was sitting on Chin's bike, legs practically wrapped around the man he fully intended on fucking the hell out of within the hour, and in the morning, they'd go pick up his car and spend the day thinking of excuses to take the bike out for a ride. He leaned forward, resting his cheek on Chin's shoulder blade, and let the vibrations work their way into his bones. His erection was pressed hard against the flat of Chin's back, and when they leaned into the next turn, Danny pulled himself just a little bit closer. Maybe they didn't need any excuses, Danny thought. Maybe he'd just suggest it, and they could circle the edge of the island a dozen times, or drive back and forth across the middle, or even circle the damn block around Chin's house. Danny didn't really care. As he slipped one hand around Chin's front, hand against Chin's stomach, he felt Chin reach down and brush his fingers against Danny's. Seemed like maybe Chin would be easy to convince, Danny thought. He closed his eyes and listened to the roar of the engine and the feel of the wind on his face and the heat of the lover's body radiating into his own. The end.